Searchers give another shot at finding the body of a missing and presumed dead West Fargo woman. Heavy hearts, but very big hearts, showed up over the weekend. TSA agents nationwide give another shot at pre-check lines at airports following Congress's partial government shutdown. Why the bad news didn't last long. And a man is shot at Mar-a-Lago after being spotted with firearms and gasoline. Why the president was never in danger. Good morning, my friend. We're going to take another shot at putting together a good radio show for you today and taking a look at the pictures from New York City this morning. Holy smokes, are they getting snow. I guess we can say Mom Donnie's going to get another shot at proving that he can actually be the mayor of a big city and clear the snow out of there. They still had a bunch of snow sitting around after that first blizzard that was there. And people were so upset out there that I can't even walk across the street. I can't get to the street corner. It's trash laying around and snow all over. I guess you get what you pay for, or you don't in New York City. So hopefully they can figure that out. I see that Central Park has already had 10 inches of snow. And some of the radar pictures I've seen, it's just a massive blob of precipitation, and it's just spinning right over that whole area out on the Atlantic seaboard there, all the way from, where are we at here? I guess south of D.C., all the way up through Maine. They're just getting hammered there. Connecticut, Massachusetts in particular, New York City getting it as well, and they're saying they could get as much as 2 feet in some spots, and it's like 33 degrees out there. So, you know, we got last week with that snow that was so heavy, you couldn't shovel it, you couldn't snowblow it. It just, yeah, it was tough. That's what they're getting. So hopefully things go well out there. A reminder today that it's time to renew our commitment to being the happy warriors. Never let them steal your joy. Never let them steal your optimism. Things get a little bleak sometimes, but we fight through. I was in the Twin Cities Thursday and Friday for some work that we needed to do down there. I have a little report for you, and I can get it out of the way here quickly. There is a lot of optimism among Republicans in the Twin Cities that Michelle Tafoya can win the Senate race and get a U.S. Senator from the state of Minnesota. There is not as much optimism about the governor's race. People down there believe that Amy Klobuchar is pretty much a lock. Now, there have been predictions made before that have been wrong, but there are a lot of people down there that think it's just a matter of time until Amy Klobuchar is the next governor of the state of Minnesota. The thinking goes that according to Minnesota standards, which are a little different than what we have in North Dakota, probably South Dakota as well, that Klobuchar hasn't really screwed anything up that bad. Can argue with the votes, can argue with some of the trans stuff, can argue with some of the climate stuff, but generally speaking, Minnesota Republicans feel like she's tried to be halfway reasonable on business. And because of that, she probably is not really in danger. But as I have said before, stranger things have happened. So let's hope that they're wrong on that one. Coming up on the program today, we're going to meet the new owner of the Chick-fil-A franchise in Fargo. That's going to be interesting chat today. We'll do that coming up in the second hour of the program. Sung Kim. And Sung is not just a restaurateur, but he's a U.S. Army Reserve Chaplain Corps officer. So I'll get a chance to meet him coming up today. Going to talk a little bit about the U.S. Olympic hockey team as well. Can we not just all get along when USA Hockey wins the gold medal? Unbelievable how the left has come out and basically said, we wish they would have lost. We're seeing way too much of that. Going to have some unbelievable sound bites afterwards. We're going to hear from President of the United States calling into the winning locker room. And we're going to hear from the hero of the game talking about how proud he is to be an American. And after some of the sound bites I heard from the Olympic competitors from the USA, it did my heart good. So lots of ground to cover here today, including many headlines and news stories that are either bursting on the scene or changing a little bit. We'll get through all that here today on the show. This hour of the program is brought to you in part by Delta Design and Construction. If you're thinking about a remodel, you might want to think about building up, and they're putting some jobs on their calendar right now for spring and summer. Building up preserves yard space, saves you money, improve views and light, increase privacy, and keeps all that great landscaping in place as well. You can call them at 701-235-1212 or go to deltadesign.biz, beauty and quality by design. All right, here we go with the Morning Wire. And these are our opportunities to give you some weather notes, opening markets, and a bunch of top stories making headlines here today as well. We will start today with our sunrise sunset, and we're going to gain 3 minutes and 15 seconds of daylight today. And yes, the sun is now setting after 6 p.m. 6:04 will be the sunset tonight. I did see, by the way, the record high for today in Fargo is 56. That was back in 1958. 56! That sounds fantastic. It's almost as though we've always had extreme weather. Maybe that's just me. In the markets today, things are off to a rocky start on Wall Street. The stock market is down across the board. Dow is down 574 points. S&P 500 down 43. NASDAQ down 155. WTI crude oil up about $1.50 today at $67.09. About as high as we've been for a while. And we're going to see those gas prices starting to move up at the pump. No doubt about that. Gold today up $125 an ounce at $5,206. Silver up $450 an ounce at $86.85. And Bitcoin today down $1,500, $65,876. Continuing to trend in the mid to upper 60s, but easing back just a little bit. AAA says the average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas nationwide is $2.93. That's up 2 cents from Friday. North Dakota average price $2.55. Minnesota $2.69, South Dakota $2.61, and diesel fuel today up 1 cent at $3.71. All right, what's going on in the news today? Well, volunteers for a second straight weekend gathered in Battle Lake to search for 25-year-old Isadora Wengel. The missing West Fargo woman is presumed dead and murdered, as murder charges have been filed against Fargo's Josh Height. The Otter Tail County Sheriff's Office is coordinating search patterns across a difficult and wooded terrain. The forum reports the residents are being asked to check properties and outbuildings for any signs of the missing woman or that now infamous 20-gallon plastic tote. Turns my stomach every time I talk about this story. Congratulations, thank you, and job well done to soldiers from the North Dakota National Guard's Valley City-based unit who have returned home after a months-long deployment. They went to the southern border to help with border security operations there, a formal ceremony being held to celebrate their return and acknowledging their service at the U.S.-Mexico border. Fargo police are hosting a beat meeting specifically for the Central Fargo neighborhood to discuss crime trends and local safety concerns. Residents can meet patrol officers directly to address and discuss common sense solutions to local property crime coming up Thursday night. And also in the news today, Sun Country and Delta Airlines have officially canceled flights to Puerto Vallarta this morning from Minneapolis. Yesterday, several Sun Country flights were diverted midair and returned to the Twin Cities. This following the killing of El Mencho, the leader of the Jalisco New Generation Cartel, which triggered roadblocks and car fires across the region. U.S. State Department has issued an emergency shelter in place for Americans in the Jalisco state, including Puerto Vallarta, as civil unrest intensifies. You probably heard about it. Up to 2 feet of snow, 60-mile-an-hour winds are expected across much of New York today, where a massive blizzard has grounded more than 1,000 flights and prompted a total travel ban for non-emergency vehicles in New York City. There could be power outages that last for days. After a brief weekend shutdown, the Department of Homeland Security has reopened TSA PreCheck lanes. While PreCheck is back, the Global Entry Program remains suspended, meaning international travelers have to use standard passport control lines. It's all tied to the partial government shutdown. They initially closed TSA for a short time over the weekend and then realized they still had the resources to put that together. And Secret Service agents shot and killed an armed individual trying to secure or breach the secure perimeter of Donald Trump's Florida estate, Mar-a-Lago. It led to an immediate lockdown of the surrounding Palm Beach area as investigators searched for potential accomplices. He had a firearm and a tank of gasoline with him there. Security Mar-a-Lago remains at an all-time high with everything going on in this crazy world. When we return here on the Steve Alstrom Show, story of the day, it's a golden moment for Team USA, but not everybody felt like celebrating. Coming to you live from the Drive with Vision studio, drivewithvision.com, Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton. 15 minutes or less, that's all it takes to get the paperwork signed and drive off that lot with a spiffy new or pre-owned car, truck, or SUV. Drivewithvision.com, Vision Ford Lincoln. Every week at this time, we get a chance to visit with our friend Katie from Travel Travel. And Katie or Cindy or whoever over there, they all have great ideas for places to get away and enjoy life outside of where you normally live. Good morning, Katie. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you. Well, a lot of times this time of year, you'll be telling us about somewhere kind of a tropical beach sort of destination. But today you're talking about going over to Europe. Tell us a little bit about this one.
Yes, I have a great special today. So what we're going to do is we're going to do April 6th through the 14th, we are going to fly out of Fargo and we are going to Dublin, Ireland. We are going to spend 7 nights at the Aloft Dublin City Center Hotel, right in the heart of Dublin. And for 7 nights, we're going to do that for $1,580 per person, including airfare.
Fantastic deal. You're flying out of Fargo as well. And so I can't make it any easier than that. And 7 nights, the Aloft or Aloft, I've heard it said, both ways, but I think that's a property that's got some pretty good, isn't it owned by one of the big hotel chains?
Yeah, I believe it's a Marriott property, actually.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Super nice, super modern, convenient location. They're really nice hotels, for sure. And just being in the heart of Dublin with so much stuff to do, so many pubs to crawl around to, and just different historical things to do, it's really a great getaway.
Yes, and April 6th through the 14th, the weather will be moderating a little bit over there like it is over here, too. And when you got a deal like this, 7 nights, you get the airfare and the hotel, $1,580 per person. That's basically $3,000, and two of you are going overseas for a trip of a lifetime. What do people like to do in Dublin over there in Ireland?
Day trips. You can go see the Ring of Kerry. You can go see the Cliffs of Moher. Go kiss the Blarney Stone. Trinity College is right in the heart of Dublin. Definitely known for the Temple Bar and the bar scene over there. So there's tons of stuff to do when you're there, for sure.
A lot of fun. Well, it sounds like a great trip. And at that price, you can't beat it. And look, there's not many variables. You know you're getting there out of Fargo, and you know you're staying at a great hotel. Like, everything else is just details. From there, you can have a great time. If people want to find out more, how do they get a hold of you, Katie?
Definitely give us a call at 701-492-5000. You'll also be able to see all this on our website, which is traveltravelgroup.com. And social media, we have it all.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you, Katie. Another great opportunity. And hey, a lot of people are, looks like, going to be getting a bigger tax refund back. No better time to do a little traveling than right now. So give Katie a call, 701-492-5000 or traveltravelgroup.com. Thanks, Katie. You have a great week.
Thanks, you too.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
23 past the hour here on the Steve Alstrom Show. And the question I want to throw out for you today is this. If 9/11 happened again, would this country come together like we did back then? I've been thinking about that ever since the events of yesterday. In Olympic hockey, of all things, making me wonder questions about 9/11. So it was a historic gold medal win for the U.S. hockey team. 46 years since the U.S. had won gold last. And they did beat Canada in overtime yesterday. But, man, the reaction was not what I expected. Maybe I did expect it. I guess I just hoped I wouldn't see it. But you're seeing that this is a bittersweet development from many people here. And people are saying it's a complicated victory. You're hearing a lot of this now. News headlines, social media posts, people on the TV shows, and all of that. Because it does not seem to be unanimous among Americans that what happened on the ice yesterday was a good thing. And if you've not followed this, if you're not someone that gets into the politics or really watches this stuff, you might say, what in the world? Yeah, exactly. Some of the players are being singled out, not for their level of skill or how they play the game, but their kind of MAGA brand of toxic masculinity is what they're saying. And it was no secret going into these Olympics that a number of the players on the team had been openly supportive of President Trump. I mean, we've had plenty of the other, right, at the Olympics. It's been hard for me to watch the Olympics, some of these events, because of that. You go overseas and you start criticizing your country and talking about, well, it's a tough time to be in America. Oh, is that right? You are. You're such a victim there. And instead of being tough and outspoken, which is how it used to be, that was character before, but now it's a problem. It did not take long after the game for the TDS to emerge, the Trump derangement syndrome. Sadly, everything has to go back to Donald Trump. MSNBC host Keith Olbermann ignored the athletic achievement, went straight for the political tropes. And the U.S. White House posted after the win a social media account with an American eagle attacking a Canadian goose. And Olbermann slams the post by putting on X, Trump's trash White House always acts like it's never been there before. He, of course, did not want to celebrate the first gold medal in 46 years. He spent his energy criticizing a meme that came from the White House. Cash Patel, the FBI director, was in the locker room after the 2-1 overtime win, celebrating with the players, drinking a beer, even had somebody put a gold medal around his neck, and oh boy, did that set them off. CNN's Zoshitil Hinoyosa, I don't even know if I'm saying that right. Zoe? Anyway, somebody on CNN called Cash Patel a frat bro and accused him of boondoggling on the taxpayer dime, even though he was in Milan for official security oversight meetings. When past officials, of course, celebrated with the team, it was humanizing. And wasn't it great that the Biden administration thought so much of the Olympic athletes to be over there and show their support? But with Patel, it's disgraceful behavior and a security breach. Patel, to his credit, didn't back down, posted on X, for the very concerned media, yes, I love America, was extremely humbled to have been invited into the locker room by some of the players. Greatest country on earth, greatest sport on earth. The president then called the locker room after the win and told the guys, hey, you're unbelievable. That goaltender of yours was something else. You delivered a moment that the country's going to remember for decades. And the president invited them to the State of the Union address as guests of honor. And here's where it gets to 9/11 for me in the same conversation. Is this going to be the time that Olympic athletes come back home after winning gold and half of the House of Congress doesn't stand for them when they, or doesn't applaud, or I guess doesn't even show up? There was a time in our country when we came together about things, we could put our political differences in the rearview mirror. I feel like on my side of things, I haven't really changed where I stand on any of that. If someone is a someone who is a sees it differently politically, looks at this whole thing and says, you know, you can't even cheer for any of these athletes, not because of anything they've said or done, but because they cheered that they were being invited to the White House. That's the criticism coming to a lot of these guys. Now, I don't know if they'll all go. I know some of them want to get back to their teams. The NHL season is going there. But if the sight of Jack Hughes without his teeth scoring a golden goal triggers you, then there might be a problem. If you are feeling overwhelmed trying to raise your kids in today's woke, ever-changing world, and if you're unsure how to answer the tough questions about culture, identity, and values, we'd like to invite you to an evening with author and speaker Stacey Manning. She's coming to town on Saturday, March 28th, and she'll be speaking at Capstone Classical Academy in Fargo. She's written a book called Raising a Conservative Kid in a Woke City, and she will give parents practical tools and confidence to have thoughtful and age-appropriate conversations with their kids. VIP meet and greet at 6 p.m., program at 7. Tickets start at just $25. Go to am1100theflag.com, and you can click on the banner there and get tickets there. We'd love to see you. on Saturday, March 28th. All right, before we get to the Olympic stuff here, President Trump is speaking today, and he's honoring angel families. And I want to dip into a little bit of that, because when the president speaks on something we all care so much about and something that is so deeply tied to the horrific immigration policies of this country, I think it's worth us never forgetting what has happened. Here are President Trump's remarks on this just a couple moments ago.
Illegal immigration led in by the past administration. Millions and millions of people from jails. Millions and millions of people from countries that we don't want to know about. Drug dealers, murderers. 11,888 murderers were allowed into our country by the Biden administration. These are the angel families that we love, that for decades our government betrayed and our media totally ignored. And I've seen it. When I first got involved with the angel families, I had a meeting. It was so sad. And they got up and spoke, and the media literally just turned off the cameras. They didn't want to hear them. It was the most, it was my first glimpse as to what was happening. These are sick people that cover stories like that, or that don't cover them, which is worse. Everyone in this room not only suffered an infinite loss, they were the victims of politicians who put the comfort of foreign criminals before the safety of American citizens and American patriots. Their stories were censored and suppressed like maybe almost never before, so that the politicians could open our borders and allow our nation to be invaded. If we didn't win the election, our nation would right now be destroyed. But under the Trump administration, their suffering is forgotten no longer. In just a few moments, I officially sign a proclamation that I've been waiting to sign for a long time, including my first administration. There were so many different legal roadblocks, it was incredible. We got it done. And I'm doing it today. February 22nd is going to be National Angel Family Day. Very important. So many incredible family members and friends, parents and children. On February 22nd, 2 years ago, a brilliant 22-year-old nursing student named Lakin Hope Riley went out for a run on a college campus in Georgia. Lakin was viciously attacked, brutally beaten and murdered by an illegal alien gang member who the last administration heartlessly released into our country. No problems. Let them in. They let in everybody. They didn't check anybody. They let in everybody. Among the first bills I signed into law after taking office last year was the Lakin Riley Act. I'm so proud of it. To ensure illegal alien criminals are rapidly removed from the United States of America, if that's okay with the media. That bill has already been really playing a big role in the life of our country. It's resulted in over 21,000 illegal alien arrests. 21,000. We're joined this morning by Lakin's parents, who I have gotten to know. These are incredible people. And I want to ask Lakin's mother, Allison, to please come forward and say a few words, please.
I don't know that I've heard from her before publicly.
Hi, Allison.
Well, this is unexpected, but I think that a lot of people feel like that President Trump is maybe different than the version that I've gotten to know. And I just can't thank you enough. You have said from the beginning, literally the day after this happened, that you would not forget about Lakin. You weren't president at that time, and you have not forgotten. You have fought a fight that most people would not want to have to fight. Most people wouldn't. They would just say it's just easier not to do this. And President Trump has, you are doing a thankless job that most people just wouldn't do. And I just can't thank you enough. There are just not enough words to say. Because if you live the nightmare that we have lived, you understand the importance of the job that he's doing and securing our nation and fighting for our families. Because this could be any family. This happened to my family. This could be any one of your families. And Lakin was the most responsible, hardworking, kind, selfless, beautiful Christian. And she wasn't somebody that put herself in bad positions. She didn't make bad choices. She was just a good girl. And she just wanted to go for a run that morning. After she'd gotten up at 4 o'clock the morning before to decorate her roommate's door for her birthday. And she did everything for everyone else. She expected nothing in return. She just wanted to be a good friend and a good sister and a good daughter and a hardworking nurse. She was working so hard for. And I'm beyond blessed and thankful that you're honoring not just Lakin, because she's one and a ton of people that have suffered at the hands of illegal immigrants. She's not the only one. And so thank you for honoring all of them, not just Lakin. And we're just beyond grateful. Thank you.
Thank you so much,
John. Oh, she gives him a big hug. Trump doesn't usually let people give him outright full hugs, but he did. He did there.
Thank you very much. Amazing, Allison. You have to go through this. Doesn't get that much easier, does it? Right? Even with time. It's been a while now, and it doesn't get that much easier. But I want to thank you for your incredible courage. We're all courageous in a sense. Everybody in this room is courageous. And we're willing to tell the story, and that I don't know why the news doesn't want to hear it. The Democrats don't want to hear it. The radical left, they don't want to hear it. What's not to hear? We want to stop murderers and criminals from coming into our country. I watch the mayor of Minneapolis. I watch these people saying, we want to protect murderers. I don't get it. Something's sick. They're sick. Can't have a country like that. So we appreciate the bravery of everybody in this room, actually. And Christy, I want to thank you, and I want to thank Tom in particular for we have a border that's 100% closed now. 100%.
So Lakin's story is even more tragic because her death was completely preventable. It shouldn't have happened. Guy should never have been here. Not only should her killer not have been released into our country in the first place, but he was released a second time after being arrested in New York City. Here today is a great gentleman, the police officer who arrested that illegal alien, only to watch him be set free to kill. I mean, he was arrested and they let him go free. They knew he was trouble, big trouble. Many of them are like that. They release him knowing it's going to kill again, but they released him and set him free to kill Lakin. So I'd like to have Ethan Carreri come up, please. He's a great, highly respected police officer, and you could explain what happened. Come on up. Thank you, Ethan.
Young guy, looks like he
Mr.
maybe
President,
not
it's an
even
honor
30.
To be here today, and it's an honor to be speaking with you guys. My name is Ethan Carreri. I'm a police officer in Palm Beach County, Florida, and a former New York City police officer. While serving the New York City Police Department, I personally arrested Jose Ibarra for endangering the welfare of a child. A few months later, I saw his face again in the news after he viciously murdered Lakeham Riley. I did my job. I put him in custody. The system failed. No detainer, no accountability, no deportation, and an innocent American life was taken. If you enter our country illegally, there will be consequences under this administration. The American citizens must always come first. To Lakeham Riley's family, your loss should have never happened. We owe it to you and every American family to enforce our laws, secure our border, and protect innocent lives. Mr. President, thank you so much for having me here today, and thank you for all you've done for our country. Thank you.
All right, we'll jump on that. We'll keep watching that to see if there's any other news items to pass along from that. Just got a text message while President was talking there. Is Trump just trying to deflect from bad things under his watch? The tariffs, the Minnesota deaths, and Supreme Court defeats. I don't know. Maybe. I guess we'll never know. But this had been planned for a while, and it's an extension of what he's been doing from day one, not just a new idea that came up over the weekend to distract people from things. I tend to give him benefit of the doubt on this one. All right. When we come back, if we had another 9/11, would it be the same? Met a new friend a couple of weeks ago out in Watford City. His name is Matt Schultz. And he is one of the leading financial minds out in the Bakken region. And if you live out Watford City, Alexander, out that way in McKenzie County, he's a neighbor of yours as well. He knows that behind every investment is a family and a dream. You might see him cheering at a high school game, lining up a putt on the golf course out of Fox Hills out there. Matt takes a personal, all things considered approach to financial planning, giving you some practical advice and a guy you can trust. Get a financial plan as solid as the North Dakota ground we walk on. Call Matt Schultz at Midwest Wealth today. Straightforward planning from a name you know. Online at RaymondJames.com/MidwestWealth. RaymondJames.com/MidwestWealth. All right. I want to know from you, if we had 9/11, would we come together as a country the way we did back then? I'd like to hear from you. 701-271-1100. That's the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Let's start with Tom in Jamestown. He wants to talk about that. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. Well, I think one of the things that might cause us to possibly have another event like 9/11 is the fact that we have this political battle about the budget, the deficit, where there are government shutdowns, where money does not go to Homeland Security. I think that's something that if there are terrorists out there who might be interested in harming us, would keep an eye on. And they would look at the results of the government shutdown, where Homeland Security is hurt financially, and maybe move along the lines of, now might be a great time for a terrorist attack. People need to realize, I believe, that the reason we haven't had another 9/11 is because President Bush created the Homeland Security part of the government and funded it to the point where it could be very, very effective in going after the terrorists at that time during 9/11 who wanted to destroy the United States.
Yeah. Yep.
So people tend to forget that.
Yeah,
so
they do.
We need to fund Homeland Security. And if Kristi Noem is screwed up in Minneapolis, like some people say she has, she may have done a very excellent job of all the other aspects of Homeland Security, and no way would you want to get rid of her.
Yeah, good comment. Yeah, Tom, thanks a lot for the call. Really good stuff there. That opens up a phone line for you at 701-271-1100. The president has defended Kristi Noem pretty fiercely. And if she would have been a total screw-up on the whole thing, I don't know that he would have done the same thing. And there are other people that are not with this administration anymore that he has not been quite as strong-minded about. And you're right. I think Kristi Noem, if from what I can tell, the mistakes that she made where she tried – here's my theory – I think she knows where President Trump stands on what needed to happen in Minneapolis. I think she wanted to say, we're not going to stand for, you know, these people attacking our officers when they're trying to do what they need to do, our agents, officers, whatever you want to call them. I feel like she was trying to do what Trump wanted her to do. I think maybe just didn't listen enough to the room, read the room the right way. And Tom Holman came in and then had a very different, kind of more of a conciliatory tone. And so, but back to the point about Homeland Security and how is this being done, and is it the right thing to do? 100% right. Tom is about that. It's really important. And we may not have another 9/11 because of some of the things that have been put in there. So good comments there. Thanks very much for that, Tom. Let's go to Corey. He's on line one. Corey, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Yes, sir. What would you like to tell us or ask?
Well, I heard this secondhand. I wasn't at the meeting last night, but they said the District 28 Republican meeting was kind of hijacked.
Okay, how so?
A group of individuals kind of started raising their voices and making a big fuss, and they called the meeting to an end and said they were going to continue it at a different time. And they basically elected a new chairperson at the meeting and conducted the meeting with somebody who didn't even live in District 28.
Okay. District 28 is Lemoore and Sargent County, kind of down that way?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So you're saying it was kind of hijacked by some people, and maybe the people that were even in charge at the end shouldn't have even been there.
Nope. They shouldn't have been there. Granted, they were voting. The ones that voted this chairperson in were in the district. But the person
right.
they voted in as the chairperson was from Minot.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll make some calls on that and see if I can dig up an account of what happened there and see if we can get some more details.
Law enforcement was called in.
Oh, is that right? Okay. Got a little spirited then. Very good.
Yeah, and they called the meeting to, rather than calling order to the meeting, they called the meeting to an end and they left and... This
okay.
other group overtook the meeting and continued on.
Okay. Well, thank you, Corey, for calling. Let me know. We'll see what we can find out about that. But thanks for the call today.
You bet.
All right. Well, that'll do it for hour number one of the show. Getting some comments here from a few people on what we've been talking about. We'll read those on the other side. Hour two of the program, The Key 3, coming up next. Hour number two of the Steve Hallstrom Show on this Monday morning, brought to you by the good folks at Americans for Prosperity, who want to make sure that you are aware that North Dakota's future depends on the choices we make today. So at Americans for Prosperity, they are proud to unveil their 2027 North Dakota policy agenda, the North Dakota Road to Opportunity. They're pushing for the total elimination of the state income tax and expanded property tax relief. They're calling for a North Dakota Reins Act, R-E-I-N-S, Reins Act, to rein in government overreach, and fighting for education savings accounts and for every student to empower parents. View the full plan and find out how to get involved at AFPND.org, AFPND.org, paid for by Americans for Prosperity. I love it. Looks like they're going after a lot of the right stuff. So thank you, Americans for Prosperity. Glad to spread the word about that here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. All right, we've had a couple of emails and text messages come in that I want to get to before we get to the key three here today. Emailer, let's see, they just give an initial J. All right, so we'll call him J. Steve, you talk about the need to put politics aside during the Olympics, but then you said you're having a hard time cheering for the athletes that openly criticize Trump. So why is the hockey team different? Okay, fair question. So there are athletes out there who I know feel a certain way about politics because they have said things in the past, or things on their social media or whatever, but they go to the Olympics and they keep their mouth shut about that. And when they're asked, you know, do you like being here? You know, yep, I'm proud to compete for the country. The figure skater, and I forget her name, But she's the one that was very successful and then got out of the sport for a while and then came back. Alyssa Liu, does that sound right? I think that's her name. Well, apparently she's very woke, but she didn't say a word about it during the Olympics. You know what? I can live with that. We can all have our different opinions. Goodness. You can be, you know, left of Lenin, and if you go to the Olympics and compete, I say, go USA. So the deal with, you know, some of the skiers and whatever that I've heard is that they felt like they had to make it about themselves at the Olympics and their, you know, personal crusades rather than just celebrating the idea of competing for Team USA. So let's contrast that to the hockey players we're talking about. Now, the hockey players are not speaking out against anything in the U.S. They're not even speaking out for Donald Trump. They're staying away from that as well. And I've got a couple of clips I'll play for you here later this hour. But these hockey players are being ripped just for having stances. Just for, so where I looked at Alyssa Liu and I said, you know what, go USA. I have not a bad thing to say about her. These hockey players are getting ripped because they in the past have supported something. In the past they've done something. But they have kept their mouth closed about all of that at the Olympics. They've been criticized for just having positions and opinions. And to me, that's wrong. So I do see it as different when you talk about, well, why is it okay for you to, why can we not criticize the hockey players? Hockey players are just out there playing the game. Now, they invited Cash Patel into the locker room, but should they not have invited, you know, somebody who's there on behalf of the White House? I would have said they should have invited whoever Joe Biden would have had over there, Buttigieg or whatever. I wouldn't have cared. I would have said, you know what? That's very appropriate. Good for them. And if Buttigieg would have been two-fisting a couple of Miller Lights the way he was doing it yesterday, the way Cash Patel was doing yesterday, I said, good for them. So to me, it is different. And that's just how I see it. Steve, that you should block that dirtbag that sent in the last text message. That's ridiculous. Yeah, no, I don't mind it. I don't. You know, I think it's good to have your opinions challenged and say, okay, are you being two-faced about this? Because if you can say, okay, I looked at it and here's where I stand on that, at least you then are being intellectually honest with people. And I've been honest sometimes to say, yeah, you know what? I got a little carried away there, because that does happen every once in a while. Thank you for the emails and texts. Keep them coming. Email box is studio@flagfamily.com. Text line 701-237-1590. And the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line, 701-271-1100. Okay, let's get to the key three. These are what I believe to be the three most consequential stories in the news cycle today. Story number one, the CEO of the Florida State Chamber of Commerce says that high tax states like New York are losing $4 million an hour in wealth migration to the Sunshine State. Wow. As wealthy residents are leaving those states and cities, as you all know, the tax burden on those who remain increases. And I heard a lot of people talk about that in Minnesota on Thursday and Friday when I was down there. And that just snowballs the whole thing. Florida continues to lead the nation in new business filings, according to the Chamber CEO, and they say that people are coming from New York, Illinois, and California. Those are the three states where people are coming most often. I know a lot of Minnesotans, though, have gone down to Florida, so they got to be in the top 10. So that's story number one. Story number two, you might have heard about this over the weekend, and this is one of those stories I would put under the heading of you just can't make it up. With a blizzard bearing down on New York City, the communist mayor out there, Zoran Mamdani, has offered citizens a chance to make a few extra bucks shoveling snow. But there's a catch. You have to bring valid ID to shovel the snow. We know already from this conversation that the black and the brown people are incapable of figuring out how to get ID or a driver's license that would work to vote. So I don't know how Mom Donnie expects anybody to jump in and make this happen. It's being called the Jim Crow Snow Removal Program in New York City. Oh, I love that. You have to bring some ID. The ID required includes a Social Security card. So he obviously hates the illegal immigrants as well. There are so many contradictions here. It's not even funny. It's almost like the mayor is a little concerned that people might not be honest about who they are. But we can't have it for voting. But you can require ID to shovel snow in New York City. How about that? Can't make it up. You cannot make it up. And finally, new research reports MSN Health suggests some cases of autism may be preventable. Now, this isn't going where you think it's going, but it does open the door for this. But the research says this autism storyline here may be preventable by identifying specific environmental and biological triggers during early development. They do not mention vaccines here. And it's like they almost got there. They almost said what they needed to say, but they won't say it. The study highlighted metabolic health and maternal nutrition as key intervention points. Yeah, metabolic health. What could possibly affect metabolic health? While promising for early intervention, the research is sparking a national conversation about medical ethics and neurodiversity. So we're getting there. We're getting there. Maybe this will be another one of those Bill Gates. Yeah, you know what, this whole climate change thing, I mean, it's worth talking about a little bit, but it's not worth losing our minds over. Maybe we're about to see this happening with autism as well. And those, friends, are what I believe to be the three most consequential stories in the news cycle today. I could talk about a lot of other things. Those three are not going to be your typical lead stories, but I think those are definitely stories that pass the so what test. So there you go. From the text line, Steve, a lot of these people are moving from blue states to red states, but are still taking their blue state principles with them. Yes, you're right. They want all the good stuff. Let's hope that they are leaving most of that behind and understand that the reason that they're moving there is because they don't do things like back home. So don't bring your weird ideas with you. Go down there and say, you know what, it looks like they've got this whole thing figured out and they're doing a pretty good job. That is our hope there. All right, when we return on the Steve Hallstrom Show, so it's time for Best Thing I Heard All Day. USA Hockey apparently does not care what the woke folk think about President Trump and the USA, but listen how they are doing it, even in the heat of the excitement. Talk about that as we come back here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Here at the Flag, we've met a lot of veterans over the years. Every single one of them's got a story to tell. That's why this new idea that we're doing here, brought to you by Matt Eaton at Dakota Implant and Sedation Center, really means something to a lot of us here. Salute to Smiles is the program. It's a way to say thank you, made possible by somebody with a really huge heart. Dr. Matt Eaton at Dakota Implant and Sedation Center is giving one deserving veteran a brand new smile. Not as a charity move here, but this is just a way to say thank you because they have gratitude for these veterans. If you know a veteran who deserves this, nominate them by going to am1100theflag.com or wdayradionow.com or send a letter to Flag Family Media, 2852 Thunder Road, Fargo, North Dakota, 58104. Salute to Smiles from Dakota Implant and Sedation Center in Fargo. What a great idea. Dr. Eaton, that's like brand new smile. You're talking about thousands of dollars worth of free restorative dental work. How great is that? So good. All right, 21 past the hour here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Thank you, my friend, for being with me here today. I love hockey. I love our country. So when we have U.S. versus Canada, our biggest rival for men's hockey and women's hockey. I had the same kind of deal in the women's championship game. But when those games are going on, it doesn't matter if I am busy, if I've got something. If I can find a way to somehow get away and watch it, I will. I did not catch much of the women's game last week. But, hey, 7:15 on a Sunday morning, perfect. I can get up, watch the game, catch late service, we're all good. And so I had a chance to watch the hockey game yesterday, and it was an unbelievable game. Canada, probably the better team, probably deserved a better fate, but winners win. And they had their chances, didn't make them happen. The U.S. goaltender, Connor Hellebuck, was absolutely amazing. Stopped like 40 of 41 shots or something like that. And the U.S. won it 2-1 in overtime. And it set off a slew of celebrations across the country. And it's been so fun in the 24 hours or so since to see those celebrations and things that happened across the country where people just jumped in and just pandemonium. You know, bars opened early and people were going bananas when they scored the game-winning goal. Obviously tough for the Canadians, but they beat us plenty of times, so it's about time for us to get a good one. The hero of the game was a guy named Jack Hughes. He plays for the New Jersey Devils, and he had the game-winning goal in overtime just a few minutes after getting two of his front teeth bashed out by a high stick. So this is how hockey guys are, right? After the game, Jack Hughes met with the ringside reporter for NBC. And this wasn't the press conference where things settled down afterwards. This was right after the game. Emotions super high. And he was asked to be fair to the reporter. There are some reporters that have asked those leading questions, trying to get people to say something controversial politically, which is ridiculous, but they do it. He was asked, how does it feel to have done this for your country? And listen to what he says, but listen to what he doesn't say.
This is all about our country right now. I love the USA. I love my teammates. It's unbelievable. The USA Hockey Brotherhood is so strong. And we have so much support from ex-players. I'm so proud to be American today.
This was such an incredible game to grind out. I mean, you're bleeding right through it just looking at you right now. Can you just talk about how difficult this gold medal was to win?
Unbelievable game by Hellebuck. He was our best player tonight by a mile. Unbelievable game. Unreal game by our team. That's just a ballsy, gutsy win. That's American hockey right there. That's a great Canadian team, but we're USA. We're so proud to be Americans. Tonight was all for the country.
What does this gold medal mean to USA Hockey?
It's everything. Like I said, the USA Hockey Brotherhood means so much. Look at these guys. We're such a team. We've been together for 2 weeks. We're such a team. The USA Hockey Brotherhood is so strong, and we're so proud to win for our country.
It was the best thing I heard all day, and nothing else even came close. When his hockey playing days are done, he's got a career in PR because it could not have been any more pitch perfect. That's American hockey right there. That's a great Canadian team, giving credit to the opponent, but we're USA. We're so proud to be Americans. Tonight was all for the country. Compare that to what you saw from some of the other competitors being asked about these things and saying, oh, well, yeah, you know what? It's hard to be excited sometimes about the country and where we're at, and it's complicated in the USA right now. There's no complicated for Jack Hughes, and picked exactly the right words to say. We're such a team. We've been together 2 weeks. I'm so proud to be an American today. I love the USA. I love my teammates. This is all about our country right now. In the heat of that moment, he would have been forgiven, I think, fairly easily for going off like, yeah, there's Canadians, whatever. Or, yeah, you know, if you're one of those wacko libs back home, you know what? I wouldn't have liked that. I know some people would have. Not yesterday. He brought the country together with what he said. Tonight was all for the country. It wasn't about them. Yes, it was about his team and USA Hockey, but tonight, we're so proud to be Americans. Tonight was all for the country. It was absolutely fantastic and just pitch perfect, and loved every minute of that. President Trump got on the phone with the guys, and I don't know that I'll be able to get to all of this. Cash Patel was in the locker room, and President Trump got in there, and they picked up the recording in the locker room few words into what the president was saying to the guys.
Watch 1 minute. And by the way, you only played not bad.
Howie, say hi to him.
How you doing, Don?
How you doing, Don?
I have seen hockey goalies have slightly worse games. Unbelievable, and you were all unbelievable. And that team is pretty good you played. I don't know if we get anytime soon, right? And, you know, I tell you what, I just told my people 2 minutes ago, I didn't know they'd be calling. I said, we're giving the State of the Union speech on Tuesday night. I could send a military plane or something, but if you would like to, it's the coolest night, it's the biggest.
We're in.
Yeah.
We're
out.
Can you pick us up in Miami on Tuesday morning?
Yeah, Tuesday morning.
Close the northern border.
We'll get the cash and we'll get the military to get you guys over.
Okay,
let's go.
Oh, the boys are going to the State of the Union.
The nice thing about being president is I can tell you, you don't have to worry about the weather or landing. We don't care if it's snowing, if it's a worse blizzard, you'll be sailing through that city just like you did in the ice
show. Thank you, Mr. President.
The next day we'll just have some fun. We have medals for you guys. And we have to, I must tell you, we're going to have to bring the women's team. You do know that. I do believe I probably would be impeached, okay? But anyway, if you could work that out, I would be honored to have you all. I'll introduce you to the whole...
I got it, boss. I got it.
That's Cash Patel. I got it, boss. You know, okay, if you are looking for a way to say, go Trump, go out of this, man, that locker room. I don't know that it was all of them hooping and hollering, but did you hear how excited they were to have been invited to the State of the Union address? And the women's team is going to go too. It's going to be a really awesome Tuesday night in D.C. Have you noticed how many Vision Fords and Vision Lincolns you're starting to see here in the metro area? Well, I've got one of them. I can tell you that you get that first car feel all over again when you shop there with them, because they make buying a car easy. 15 minutes to do the paperwork and they'll come to you for the sale and the service. They have 18 service drivers to get you to your car or your car to you. And when it's something, a simple procedure like an oil change or something like that, they'll come to your business like they did for me a couple of weeks ago, change the oil right in the parking lot. It's amazing. While you're inside working, they're getting your car taken care of and you drive away when they're done and it was easy peasy for you. So go to drivewithvision.com, drivewithvision.com, Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton. Great career opportunities there too. It's 32 past the hour. We're pleased to have in studio now a guest that I got to meet through a mutual friend here a little while ago. Kimberly Flom was the owner-operator of the Chick-fil-A restaurant over by West Acres, which is the one that if you go at lunchtime, you got to be patient. Even though they're good at moving cars through, there's always a long line there. But Kimberly moved on to Tennessee and doing other adventures. And so I said, I've got to find out who the new boss is over at Chick-fil-A. And so I'm pleased to introduce you to a gentleman who I've gotten to meet here this morning. His name is Sung Kim, and he is the new owner-operator of the West Acres location of Chick-fil-A here in Fargo. Sung, good morning. Thank you for coming by.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Great to see you, and thanks for coming by. Now, you have been with Chick-fil-A, the organization, for 6 years, and when you're not trying to take care of the millions of people that go over and want that good food, you are also a U.S. Army Reserve Chaplain Corps officer. And so there's a lot of reasons to be very excited about having you in a position of leadership here in town. So first of all, congrats on the store over there. Tell me a little bit about how you got involved with the Chick-fil-A organization.
Thank you, Steve. That's a great question, and it's not a short answer to that question that you just asked. It was in 2019 when I was about to finish my college. And
where were you going to school at the time?
I went to college in Indiana, called small Christian liberal arts college called Taylor University.
Okay.
And upon finishing my undergraduate school at Taylor, I was running out of my status here in the United States as an immigrant here.
Okay.
As a Korean citizen who came here on our international student visa. And I was running out of my status, and I was finding a company to either sponsor me I had a pretty strong calling that I was to remain in the U.S. I had a special heart for the kids and the teenagers through working at various summer camps. My Christian faith is very important for me, and the Lord has implemented a heart for our next generation.
Wow.
And I really felt the need and the heart and the goal and purpose to stay in the U.S., and I knew that God was provided the way. So I had two different options. My friends would joke around with me and say, Sung, you got to do the 90-day fiancé thing and find an American citizen to get married to.
Get a woman.
Or find a company willing to sponsor you, the green card.
Mm-hmm.
Around those time, a college alum of ours who graduated maybe 8 years before I did, local owner-operator in Virginia area, Jeff Upley, emailed to the business department and saying, is there any student from Taylor University who's interested in the well-being of our nation's next generation, who's business-oriented, who's willing to move to Washington, D.C. area to help open up a Chick-fil-A there? And I saw it, and never in my 4 years of college career thought that I was going to be working at Chick-fil-A.
Mm-hmm.
However, when I got that email, I felt like maybe this might be it.
Maybe it's supposed to happen. Yeah.
And Chick-fil-A has a lot of high school kids and college kids.
Right, right.
Maybe this is where I'm supposed to be. And I called him, and we talked for about 2 hours. And at the end of the call, he offered me the job as well as promised to sponsor me the immigration benefits to the U.S.
Amazing. I'll have you sneak just a little closer to the microphone so we can make sure we hear you. What were you studying in school at the time?
I studied business management.
Okay, so kind of it works out there.
Yeah?
Yeah. So tell me about what about the organization. Now you've been in the Chick-fil-A organization for 6 years. What about it has really resonated with you and made you want to continue that path forward now to being an owner-operator? What did you like about the company?
Yeah, I love how caring the organization is and how genuine the organization is. I haven't experienced too many companies or organizations, but I did leave Chick-fil-A for a little bit to find a further career. I felt like all I knew upon graduating college was Chick-fil-A, so I venture around a little bit. I did 3 years. I got my green card. Maybe I want to try something else too. Maybe I've tried the service industry. I love the organization. I love how passionate they are for the people and our guests. We don't just treat customer. We invite and welcome our guests. And I loved that component where it becomes a community, a center of community, a hub for a community, and how we really genuinely care and invest in our next generation. We have about 60, 70 high school students and college kids. But I felt like I didn't want Chick-fil-A to just be a place where that's all I knew. So I ventured around and I started working as a financial analyst for Capital One.
Oh,
great company. Good job. Great pay, great career advancement. However, after working at Capital One, even though it was a great company who served me very well, I knew that I wanted to go back to a company that's so community-oriented that their primary focus was, one, not only to glorify God, but through glorifying God that we're stewarding the things that he has given to us well and serve our guests well. And I've never seen a for-profit business in the United States that genuinely honors God and honors people as well as Chick-fil-A does.
It's an amazing story, and still closed on Sundays and still honoring that day of rest and day of worship for sure. I'm glad to hear you say that, because we have heard from the outside that maybe they've lost their way a little bit on some things. It's maybe not quite as committed to the things you might find in the good book, and maybe, you know, Truett Cathy, who started the whole thing, maybe some of the descendants don't quite have those same allegiances or loyalties, but you're saying it's not so.
Yeah, I have not. Chick-fil-A still to these days, on Monday morning, the whole corporate office stops at 8 a.m. and we start our day, start our week. The first thing that we do on Monday morning at 8 a.m. is we start by worship. The whole corporate-wide worship. About 2 weeks ago, I was in San Diego, welcomed and invited by the Cathy family who started Chick-fil-A with about 10,000 support center staff and their spouses and Chick-fil-A owner-operators nationwide, now international-wide, operators from Singapore and Canada and their spouses who came in. And the first thing that we did was to honor God. And the first thing that we promised each other is to never lose what Chick-fil-A was founded upon and to never lose our corporate purpose, which is to glorify God by being a faithful steward of all that is entrusted to us and to have a positive influence to all who comes in contact with Chick-fil-A. And I am such a heart believer that is still to this day what Chick-fil-A so strongly believe in.
How do you, just day-to-day, what are some of the things that you try to do in your leadership there to encourage those young people? We know growing up's tough, man. There's a lot going on, and it seems like our young people have more to deal with and fight about than maybe when I grew up. Now, you're a little closer to their age, but how do you try to show that leadership and be an encouragement and be an example to the people that you're working with every day?
I think that's a great question. That is something that I continue to strive and learn. Being in the Army Reserve and being in, having been into all the enlisted soldier routes and going through basic camp, basic training, something that I've learned is this aspect of the value of hard work and the discipline and resiliency. Something that I am, as a public servant, I'm interested in the well-being of our nation, whether that's in the Army capacity or Chick-fil-A capacity. Something that I see a lot of times are people say, this is too much for me. This is too hard for me. People have fun when the beginning, the first few months of Chick-fil-A, everyone jumps in as a 16-year-old. I love this Chick-fil-A job. Wow, people are so nice. I feel so cool wearing this red uniform. After about 2 months, they start saying, my leg hurts.
Yep.
Sung, this is too much. The customers are overwhelming, Sung. It's too cold outside. But this aspect of driving purpose in our people's life. Even this morning, I had a conversation with a 19-year-old girl who was a shift leader in our store, who was having expressing a difficulties and hard times. Hey, my personal life is struggling. Hey, the customer, we had a really upset customer this morning. Hey, it's really cold outside to send people outside. There's a lot of hardships. But I think driving and giving, hey, like, Dory, why do you do this? Like, what is our purpose in doing all of this? And I think implementing a purpose to our next generation is something that I've been really trying hard. And showing and really leading by example. Hey, I'm willing to do this nitty-gritty things with you together to achieve the purpose that we have, to be the most caring company in America and in the world.
Yeah, make it about more than yourself and get your focus external a little bit more. Yeah, great advice. Tell me about your role as Army Reserve Chaplain Corps Officer. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I am in the commission office. I commissioned last August into the Army Chaplaincy. Some of the things that I do currently is I am at a 13th PSYOPS Battalion in Minneapolis area. We oversee 5 downtrained companies, 3 in Minneapolis area, 1 in Ohio, and 1 in Michigan. And our role is to provide spiritual, emotional, and the holistic care for our soldiers. So about last month when I was in Minneapolis, I was having some counseling sessions with our soldiers. And we're open door and we're closed door as well. What that means is any soldier can come talk to us at any time. But we're not mandatory reporters, some of like those other chain of commands. Our soldiers can come to us for any topic, whether that's their personal life, their hardships in their career, and I provide that care. And a lot of times our role as a chaplain is to hang out with our soldiers, to get to know them, to provide, to let them know that we're there and available as a resource at any time. I basically get paid and get to wear a uniform by serving our soldiers and having a good conversation and relationship with them in and outside of a uniform context.
Did you grow up in a Christian family? Was faith something important to you at a young age?
My dad was a pastor. My parents were missionaries in Cambodia. So I grew up in Cambodia by a missionary family.
Okay. So it's been with your walk ever since things began. Some about the that recipe for Chick-fil-A chicken, man. People love it. Does it ever surprise you, like, how much people still just seem to come back for those good old staples all day after day?
I've probably had Chick-fil-A every day, at least 4 to 5 times a week for this past 10 years.
Mm.
Taylor University, the college that I went to, had a meal swipe, and Chick-fil-A was part of that meal swipe. So I had once every single day. And for me up to this day, after 10 years of eating Chick-fil-A almost every day or every other day, to still be able to have my spicy deluxe and get a bite and say, wow, this is still really good.
Yeah.
Is pretty astonishing about our recipe. But even then, seeing all the lines and the love and the care that we get from the community of how they love our sandwiches, it still surprises me.
Yeah. Well, you take such great care of us when we come there. And I love how your people, whatever we ask for, my pleasure is the answer that comes back. Not just sure, no problem, I'll do it, whatever, but I'm happy to serve you. It's a really great story. Sung, thank you for coming by. It's great to meet you and for our audience to do the same. Keep things going over there at Chick-fil-A. We appreciate your time today.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Sung Kim, the new owner-operator of the Chick-fil-A at West Acres in Fargo. More of the Steve Hallstrom Show when we come back. You know, I kind of feel with Chick-fil-A like I feel about Shields, the sporting goods store. I just love what the company is about so much that, yes, they make great products and they do it well. But with Shields, I've said before, when I see Steve Shiel on the TV at Thanksgiving at the dinner table bowing his head and praying and thanking the Lord for the blessings that they have, I just want to drive down to Shields and just dump off a bunch of money. Maybe take some home, maybe not. I don't. You just want those businesses to feel like they're supported. I don't think there's going to be any lack of support at either Shields or Chick-fil-A because, A, they don't need it. Their products are fantastic. But, man, when you go there, you feel good that you're supporting people that are the right way. And I'm very, very thankful to the many businesses who say that about us too. And boy, if we can be half the organization that Shields and Chick-fil-A is over time, then we'll be doing okay. Appreciate Sung and his, I'm hungry for a chicken sandwich. Aren't you after listening to that? Just such a big fan. And Kimberly Flom was such a wonderful servant to the community. And sounds like Sung is the same kind of person. So aren't we blessed to have great leaders in this community there. They tell you when you start doing talk radio, you go to these seminars and they tell you how to put shows together and how to think about structuring your show. They say that remember that they're just not that into you, and basically meaning that the show has to be about the listener, the audience, and you're talking to one person. You're not talking to an audience. You're talking to one person who's listening to you, and I've tried to remember that, and part of the thing about they're just not that into you is don't spend a lot of time talking about your stuff, your life, your times, your hobbies, whatever. Most people don't really care. They just want to hear about the world around them, what the show's supposed to do. But I will have to tell you from the personal file today, it's a very special day for me because 35 years ago today, I married the most wonderful and the most beautiful woman that was walking the face of the earth. And I say it the same way today. I'm a super lucky guy that for 35 years, I've been married to the most wonderful and beautiful person. She is smart. She's tough. Still makes my heart beat fast after 35 years. And so happy anniversary, honey. 35 years. That's crazy. Makes me feel darn old, actually. But it's been a great ride, and hopefully we got 35 more. All right, a couple of emails here finishing up the show here today. Dan said, Steve, you've been asking us, if 9/11 happened today, would the country still come together based on where we're at politically? And if you're just joining the show, I've been talking about the USA hockey win yesterday and some of the people that were, you know, basically saying it's a win that not everybody can be proud of in the country because there's some people who like Trump in that team and just the Trump derangement syndrome that's so crazy. Well, emailer Dan said, Steve, if 9/11 happened today, I could rest assured that we currently have the right leadership in the executive branch to pull the entire nation together. The bulk of Americans would unite again. Anyone who would still to Schumer, Newsom, or the squad other than for laughs are the fringe left. And we don't need 340 million Americans to unite. We already have everybody we need to unite in the U.S. military. Less than 0.2% of the population. That's the same fraction of Americans we depended on after 9/11/2001. And out of the general population, we still find people to answer the call to duty we always have. We didn't have a draft in 2001, but still had thousands of volunteers willing to serve. Yeah, well said. Thanks very much to you, Dan, for sending that in. Steve, maybe worth talking about if you get a chance is to take a look at the Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus that is having a hearing tomorrow in the Minnesota House. There's an I'm reading from a press release now from the Gun Owners Caucus, and they're saying that the House Public Safety Committee is going to hold a hearing on two anti-gun bills, a ban on the possession of most semi-automatic rifles, and a total ban on magazines holding more than 10 rounds. 3 o'clock tomorrow. You can attend in person at State Capitol Room 120 or watch the whole hearing via the link on their social media accounts. So a Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus, thank you for reminding us of that. So that's That's very good. So, all right. And let's see, what else do I have here that I wanted to get through? Okay, that'll take care of the text messages and emails. So thanks, folks, for sending in what you did there today. I appreciate that, my friend. Thanks if you sent us a message today. One little note I wanted to throw in today that I thought was interesting. A former Citibank executive predicted there will be more AI robots than human workers in just a few decades. And this was a couple of things that happened here. So a couple of speeches have been given. Edward Morse, the former global head of commodities research at Citigroup, was on CNBC's Squawk Box Europe. And he said that the economics of humanoid robots have reached a tipping point. You can now buy a humanoid robot for a price that pays for itself in less than 10 weeks when compared to the cost of a human worker. And this led to his prediction that robots will outnumber human workers within a few decades. The McKinsey company, the big consulting firm, the CEO Bob Sternfels, shared that McKinsey's own internal workforce is shifting. He said their firm uses about 20,000 AI agents to support their 40,000 human employees, and he thinks that ratio is going to be 1-to-1 within the next 18 months. Wow. Things are changing. The robots and the humanoids. That's what Tesla is. More than a car company, they're a humanoid company these days. Have a great day, my friend. Keep on flying that flag.